And that's easier said than done, because this isn't just as simple as going and finding a bunch of 22, 23-year-olds. They got to be able to play, too.
Right.
Where Cignetti and Indiana have been elite is identifying guys that can play and then they're old. And then they've mixed in the quarterback. All right.
It's awesome. It's awesome, man. And, you know, everybody's going to be pulling for Indiana right now. You know, looking forward. At some point, you know, we will hate them in 3 years, but because they'll be keep coming back into this.
Listen,
but
they are
right now,
so good. And granted, this could be showmanship. This could be trolling. This could be the internet doing what they do. There are legitimately people going, how are they this good? They have to be cheating.
Right. I've started to hear that, and I'm like, enough.
To me, like, that's the ultimate enough. Sign of respect of, like,
yeah.
We are fundamentally acknowledging that what you do is great.
We don't know how you're doing
correct.
It. Something has to be wrong. Also, did you see who they're bringing in for their quarterback next year?
Yes.
I swear to God.
Hoover?
It's going to be Hoover.
I told you, this is like, great for me. It's because, like, I still have Hoover stock, and it's like,
me too, but,
awesome.
Like, it's going to turn into, because our big thing on Hoover is, man, he throws a great ball, sometimes to both teams. What if he's only throwing it to his team?
No, I kind of believe, like, that's what Indiana will do. All right, enough from us. We want to hear from you. 901-445-0929. 901-445-0929. What do you think about the Ja Morant situation? We'll take your calls next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The first ever third hour on Jeffrey Wright & Company. We're taking your phone calls. How do you feel about the Ja Morant situation? The Grizzlies are entertaining offers for Ja Morant. It certainly appears to be that Ja Morant is heading out of Memphis. How do you feel about it? We're taking your calls, 901-445-0929. Let's start with Mike in Memphis. Mike, how you feeling?
Hey guys, enjoy the show. Appreciate you taking my call. I'm just gonna be honest with you, man. I'm totally pissed. This coach has no experience. He can't relate to any. You gotta think he's from Finland. He doesn't relate to anybody in Memphis. No offense, but I'm just highly upset. You gotta think, how hard is it to get a superstar, a global superstar, in any sport, and especially in a small market? So I think that the franchise is making a big time mistake, and it's not gonna be good. So, hey. We'll see where it goes, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Appreciate you, Mike. I mean,
it goes back to the point. I don't think he's alone. I think many fans believe that. I think the decision for this coach to be the guy is going to be what people think. They're picking him. They're picking him over the coach over Ja. It's not crazy. I always get the pushback, Jeffrey. It's like, you couldn't fire, like, in the situation going on, it's obvious midseason that this coach, that Isolo and Ja, they're not getting along, right? And that part of Ja not playing is his unhappiness. And it might still be with him not getting an extension, like Harrington said. That could be part of it as well. But it also seems to be with the coach. And, like, are you willing to make moves to make Ja happy or not? That's the question. Doesn't make sense to extend him right now when you could have to trade him.
Right.
But could you fire the coach and give one more shot with Ja's pick? Like, Ja, like, really, could you do it? Because he's only had how many coaches in his career?
Taylor was his only coach.
This was his second coach. Yeah. And he's had one, like, no coaches with NBA head coaching experience leading a team that he is on.
All right, let's go to Chris in East Memphis. Chris, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? I think it's a complete missed opportunity for Ja to be able to build, like, a public relations and basically do damage control for his reputation. Memphis embraced him and gave him everything he asked for. He signed off on Isolo. He got Jenkins fired. Nothing went through without Ja giving the okay. So he can't say that it's Isolo when you had this with your problem last time. Be coachable, swallow some pride, and be a leader. He just proven that he just doesn't have that leader ability. And he's going to go somewhere else, and he's going to play second fiddle to another superstar, and it's going to happen there too. He needs to mature. He needs to see what he cares more about, his feelings or winning basketball games. Thank you.
All right, that was Chris in East Memphis. We're still taking your calls.
I mean, that's easier said, right? Easier said than done. Yes, everybody says he signed off on Isolo because somebody said, hey, what do you think about this guy? He's like, sure. Like, he's the coach who was there last season. He I guess he liked him. But it's not to say that Ja would not sign off of a bunch of coaches that were presented to him and nobody else was presented. He took
the it certainly only was not option. A campaign.
He didn't
where,
push back
where he's like, it's Isolo or no one. Or
right? He was not begging for Isolo to be the coach, and that you can't frame it that way.
All right, let's go to Dale in Mumford. Dale, you're on.
All right, guys, help me out.
All right,
how many teams are there in the NBA?
30 total.
30 total. Okay, what that means is, and then there are 10 per division going into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, with
correct.
The new format,
correct.
Yeah.
10 per play conference in. Make the yeah. play-in, yes.
Okay. So, understand, I mean, I don't want to see him go, but at the same time, if he goes, it's not going to hurt my feelings because the attitude, but there's going to be 20 teams that's not going to have Ja Morant on their team, and one of them's going to win the national championship, and I doubt Ja Morant's going to be on that team, but, you know, one guy is not going to make your team unless it's Michael Jordan, okay? I mean, truly.
I'd say Jokic.
You know, I heard somebody, well, you know, but somebody's still got to get him the ball.
Yeah.
Ja's great at what he does. If he stays within himself, he's a great distributor. He can drive, but he can't shoot three for crap. I mean, let's get to it. But he's a point guard. He's not a shooting guard. He's not supposed to shoot 45% from threes. He's supposed to get everybody else involved. And in the games when he's scoring 35 and 40 points, well, you know, maybe Jaren's only scoring 8, and maybe somebody else who's averaging 15s is scoring 10. They're not getting the ball. I'm just saying, there's probably better guards, maybe not as electric, maybe not as exciting, but very functional and would work well with the rest of the guys.
No, I think another issue, though, I think a big problem is Ja's not played well. And so there's a lot of, like, a lot of the recency bias is towards watching Ja not playing well, and now you're at the point, I still think the biggest issue with him is, I think I could put up with a lot of the other stuff if he played. I think the biggest problem is you're having to do the math of, can we really have $40 million sitting in street clothes on the bench?
And that's what I was going to say. You know, that's when he plays at all. And again, you know, there's got to be some kind of relief. If somebody's injured, they've got to find a way to give you some kind of relief. You know, this is, in other words, you look at, okay, let's just look at Zion Williams and Ja.
Yep.
They get their butt on their shoulders and they're like, hey, I'm hurt, you know? And, you know, if you pull a muscle, you pull a muscle. There's no real way to tell. There's no x-ray that says, oh, yeah, he pulled a muscle. You know, and they can play that injured thing all they want. And still, because we're getting paid, man. We're going to sit over here. We're going to laugh. We're going to watch the game. But I'm getting my money. So
I think that's a big part of why we are where we are. Dale, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, how you doing, man?
Yeah, thank you. We're going through denial, and there's like the blame game is being played. But I'll admit, today I'm doing it, right? Because as part of like your this grieving process of losing the first true real superstar for the hometown professional team.
Then. Not
this,
yet.
He's not gone yet, but like I'm going through all of those different things and blaming it. But to our caller's point, like even you're saying like when Ja's, if he was playing great, that would be fine. Maybe things would be better. But also like it's kind of hidden in this whole thing is like even when he's playing great, the way he plays is kind of not that effective in the current NBA.
No, because it becomes a lot of isolation ball, and it's
and really opens it up to he's a player who's going to be opened up to injury.
Correct,
the way he plays
because he's going to be going to
like
the rack.
We just saw in the postseason yes. last year. So,
all right, let's go to Richard in Memphis. Richard, you're on.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Appreciate your phone call. What's on your
Can
mind?
You hear me?
Yep.
All right, so a couple things. One, I don't really see this as an Isolo or a Ja thing. I think that they're separate matters. We can explore that if you wanted to, but the other thing is availability matters. And if you can't be on the court, I mean, you're just chasing ghosts. And then the other thing I'll say is that, you know, when it gets to the point where you do need to have a breakup with your star, look, I'm a Saints fan. I remember when Drew Brees started getting to the point where he couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards. And I wish he would have quit a few years earlier so we could have gone on, yeah, moved on with the recovery. So that's pretty much what I put out there.
No, I think that's the other calculus. Appreciate the phone call, Richard.
About half the fan base is like to that point. They feel like the Ja is not going. There's no chance for Ja to be effective on this team anymore.
Well, I mean,
it's time
I think
to move on.
Another question that would be interesting is how would it be received if you trade Ja and then Ja all of a sudden, like in a new role, new environment, he starts like playing well. The reality is like whatever this deal is going to be, best player is going out.
Correct.
So how is the reaction when if that good player starts playing well again? Like, and you're sitting there and you're having to deal with whatever return you got that.
Because there's no scenario that, and there may not be. I mean, the Bane trade, we can point to trades like what that, you know, the Lakers got Luka, you know, for Anthony Davis. Like, you could, there's been trades, but those are not the normal ones. There's not going to be a trade that comes back where somebody's going to be like, oh, great, what a great deal for the Grizzlies.
Yep.
Here, you're losing the best player, and he could be great somewhere else, and he will be great somewhere else. I'm confident he will be great somewhere else. The question is, how long will that happen before he gets hurt or before there becomes an issue off the court?
Yeah, or, you know, what if he's just perpetually hurt?
Yeah.
Wherever else he goes. Let's go to Sam in Memphis. Sam, you're on. What's on your mind?
Hey, not much. I'm here for it. I'm ready to move on. His whole energy, his whole aura, his morale is constantly actually bringing me down. So I can imagine what it's going like being his teammate and seeing that each day, day in and day out. He's not – at his age now, he can only go down athletically, in my opinion, and that's what he relies on. And it just kind of sucks because he was a huge part of this team, and like y'all said, he's the best player, and he's probably going to be moving on. I just don't see it getting back to normal. And that's what I had to say about it.
Sam, we appreciate the phone call, yeah. And I will say this. I would be very surprised if part of the decision for the Grizzlies is not the impact of how everybody else feels.
Yeah.
Because to his point, we've been talking about this. You know, I used to always use the we ride the job roller coaster fans.
Yep. You've been saying it forever. Yeah.
I think the team does too.
They have to.
Like, it's a part of it. And I think they have reached a point where you can reasonably say, why would it change all of a sudden?
And, right. I mean, this weekend, while we were all watching NFL football, something happened. And like the reporting, the people who are closely connected with this team, like Chris Harrington, who talked to us earlier, the information they are getting makes it seem like this is a factual situation that we are about to see. Like, it's going to take a lot to stop it. At this moment, this is where it's going, and the Jaws is getting traded.
Yeah.
That's where we're going.
I do wonder. I think most of the offers are probably going to be underwhelming. Is there going to be a moment where...
You think that could change the mind of Zach Kleiman?
Well,
like, the offers are so terrible that he's not going to want to trade him?
I think terrible's probably a stretch.
Okay, but he doesn't like the offers. He doesn't like the offers because look what he just got for Bane. Like, do you think Zach Kleiman could be, like, holding out for something better before he trades Ja, and that's how we end up with Ja for the rest of the season?
Well, then the question, though, becomes is, can you make that work? Because I do still believe...
Oh, I don't know how you make it work with Ja on the team after that. I mean...
I still believe what is best for Ja...
You don't want Ja sitting out for the rest of the season on your roster.
And what's best for the Grizzlies is to figure out how to work it out. I also can be a... realist and go, I think we might have crossed that point.
It seems hard going back now at where we are. Yeah.
So if you want to, we will take your phone calls. If you want to chime in, 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929. If you would like to chime in, we're also going to get into the NFL playoffs, the game specifically. We'll go to Brett in Memphis. Brett, how are you feeling about this?
And this kind of reminds me of the Charles Huff situation, Jeffrey. You know, sometimes it's better to get rid of these guys a year too early rather than a year too late. I will also say, you know, the whole...
You mean Jay Huff?
What's that?
Explain to me how you think it's like the Charles Huff. Like, because getting rid of Ryan?
Getting rid of Ryan.
Okay, I'm with you.
And moving on. Now I'm sorry, you know, we would never, in Memphis, he would never get a mayor, an international mayor. So why did we get Tomas Isolo to lead the Memphis Grizzlies as the head coach? I mean, Memphis is just a different breed, man. It's a different city. So I'll agree with many of the fans who think Tomas Isolo, you know, he's just not the best choice, but we've got him. You got rid of Taylor Jenkins. So now you either need to get rid of John Morant and try to get a decent haul for him, or what's the other option? Do you want to get rid of a second head coach because of John Morant?
Well, I think the other question is, what it?
I mean, that's not many. For most players in the NBA, have a long. Some people have a long list of coaches they've gotten rid of. So,
I mean, I think I would ask you this, Brett. If they get, let's say they get two players that are essentially salary matches, they're not going to be future pieces. They might help you. They might help you finish out the season, but they're not going to be difference makers. And then you get a first round pick.
I get. I mean, you know, it's just amazing, Jeffrey, that we get four first-round picks for Desmond Bane, and then now you only want to talk about one first-round draft pick for John Morant.
The like, Hawks got the none for Trey.
Right. It's amazing just how much the market shifts, man. But if I'm you talking about Sam Presti of Oklahoma City, like you know, I'm sure he doesn't want John Morant anyway. But he all the first-round picks that he's accumulated in his war chest over the years.
He could have a top five pick this year. They have the Clippers pick.
Mm. Unbelievable.
It's unreal.
He can't, why can't he dish out two first-round picks, give us to that, do us a solid, and then he can you know, trade away John Morant and get three first-round picks 6 months down the road? I mean, we got to be able to get one first, more than one first-round draft pick for John Morant.
And that's your hope. People were hoping that Ja stays. You were hoping that Zach Kleiman – just because he made the Bane trade last year is going to be like, yeah, I can't do it for this little amount of peanuts that I'm being offered.
Exactly.
Right.
And I mean, I don't. They might.
It's possible.
It seems like they're also just at the point where it's like, all right, well, we'll do whatever we can to make the deal. All right, appreciate the phone calls. We'll make that a more regular part of the show now that we have 3 hours. I want to spend some time talking with you, but we haven't actually gotten into the NFL games from Wildcard Weekend that was presented, of course, by Verizon Wireless. Thanks be to the commish. Let's talk about those games when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, we have had five games on Wildcard Weekend. We will have
it's a three-day weekend. We should be off work today. Wildcard Weekend is a three-day weekend.
Super Wildcard Weekend, of course.
Yeah, it extends until tonight.
We've got Texans Steelers tonight on Monday Night Football. That will conclude, of course, Super Wild Card Weekend. We did also get our TV schedule. And if you think that having teams that played on Saturday this week should probably play on Saturday next week.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, give them
you do not understand how the National Football League works. That will not be taken into consideration. We don't actually care about fairness in between rest times.
I think they just think it's just as fair. It's just Saturday or Sunday. Just
correct.
It's pretty much 7 days. I think they think it is fair.
It's fair. It's what the television networks deem to be fair, with of course the agreement tacitly from the NFL. So we don't know the times. We know the days. The Bills, who played on Sunday, will play the Broncos on Saturday.
The Bills.
The 49ers, who also played on Sunday, will play at Seattle on Saturday. The Rams, who played on Saturday, will take on the Bears on Sunday. And then, of course, the only thing we did know is whoever was going to win tonight, that team was going to play on Sunday. So that was the only thing that was guaranteed. So the Patriots will get the full week, and then they will play the winner of tonight's Steelers-Texans game. But what?
Imagine if the NCAA tournament you play on Thursday, you might play on Saturday, or you play on Sunday, you know, and they're going to put you in whichever one, you know?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the NCAA tournament, because I want to know if y'all agree with this. Is the NFL playoffs starting to get that NCAA tournament feel where the worst thing that you can do is build up a huge lead? Because, you know, it feels like, particularly in those Thursday-Friday tournament games, like the last thing you want to do is be the team that goes up 20. Because it always just feels like, whether it be the whistle starts to turn a little bit, maybe you get away with a little more, like that team always furiously comes back. Or maybe it's just as simple as like it's do or die, like you're leaving it all on the field. It felt to me like when Etienne fumbled the punt in the very first game, Rams-Panthers, I'm like, whoo boy, like this could be like the 31-7 kill shot. And credit be to the Panthers. They got the stop. The Rams went for it on fourth down to try to make it a three-score game. And then the Panthers come all the way back. They take the lead in the fourth quarter before Stafford, I believe, according to Davante Adams, said, let's go rip their hearts out. And they went and get a touchdown on probably the best pass of the day that he made to Parkinson up the kind of like on a like wheel route that he turned, like kind of like right. It was like a wheel back shoulder throw.
Yeah, pretty much right at that pylon.
And then I will give the Rams credit. Some teams you maybe could get a little frustrated by saying, why were they sitting back and trying to play coverage? The Rams on those four plays against the Panthers were like, hey, Bryce, here are six guys, and you're going to see them all and see if you can get the throw off. And Bryce was basically in hell. It was just four and out. So Rams win. The thing that I thought was most interesting about this, I know we got x-rays were negative on Stafford. I did feel like a huge part of that game flipping was Stafford got hit in the helmet. He started off the day 8 for 8, and then he had some of the – like he had a stretch of football where you're like, is he concussed? Is he hurt? Whatnot? So
a mix of that. I mean, he also got hit, like, you know how sometimes they'll throw the ball and they get like tagged right in the hand.
Oh yeah. It's the old helmet shot.
Yeah. That hand did not look great. Some of those throws that he ended up missing through what like that kind of like you said, that like middle chunk of the game were just kinda all over the place. Way too many were short for his normal type of arm strength.
And granted, the Panthers have a good defense. And
their secondary is
they get to make adjustments,
nice.
And then it felt like what they started trying to do was make Stafford take the throws that they wanted him to, which was throw it to the outside.
Right.
And that was where they started to have success.
It's a four of the five games decided by three or fewer points, right?
Correct.
And I mean that's just amazing. And like we're getting part of the thing I loved about this weekend, like we're getting all of these teams that are like historical dynasty powerhouses are like back in play, right? Like in the postseason in the NFL, we've got the Bears, you know, beating the Packers. Like they have here's the 1980s getting represented. You have the 49ers beating the Eagles, so we've got the 90s getting represented. The Patriots are winning, so here comes the part of this millennium,
the 2000s and the 2010s.
Two decades there. The Bills, you know, throw them in a little bit with the 90s as their Super Bowl historic loser, right? And so I'm predicting the Steelers tonight to win, just based off of it seems to be the teams that have historically had many dynasties or big runs in the NFL to win. So I'm going with the Steelers officially for tonight. I don't know what the spread is. I'll pick them straight up.
It's three.
Houston
by three on the road.
I'm picking them Steelers straight up here on this one tonight. But
we have talked about this being a Tomlin
This does
special.
Feel like a Tomlin special, but what if that's the trap?
It could be.
Texans have won 9 straight.
Yeah, but that schedule was.
Yeah, no, we went through that schedule. All right, let's get to Saturday night, because this was my other thought on Saturday night. Packers-Bears. All right, so with all due respect to our boy DeMichael, that's a tough way to lose. I will say...
That was the 1-4 point in the 4 or less points. So,
I was thinking about it in terms of Jason Smith. And his son CJ's now old enough to like actually like watch games with your dad, whatnot. That is also, it just struck me as like, I'm not even trying to like make this a Bears Packers thing. I'm simply just trying to talk about it.
Yeah.
Playoff game. Those are the games that you will remember forever watching with your dad.
That one,
where you're down 21-3. You've been completely lifeless. Yes, you've been a second half team, but let's be real. There's a difference between being down 21-3 and being down like 10. And then on top of that, in the second half, your defense started to make stops, but your offense could do absolutely nothing. My other big note from this game was, this was a game where I didn't really care about stats, because my eyes told me Caleb Williams was playing really well, and the numbers just didn't jive. But then you saw the fourth down throw, with, I don't think he had a single foot on the ground, and then he throws an absolute dime over a defender right into the bucket of, was it Loveland?
Which was the one to, was it a Dunze?
I thought it was.
Because he had more.
I mean, that's the other thing.
Shocking.
He had
more than one absolute magician-type plays.
I'm thinking of the fourth down that kept it alive.
That last drive.
Yeah, I think it was Love.
Let me go to the playbook.
Well, you're talking about watching this game with kids. Side note, so I'll figure that out. Like, I was watching this with my dad and my daughter. The she thinks the Chicago Bears logo looks like a tiger. So just so you know.
It is orange.
It looks like a tiger.
Well, it's blue and orange. Like, it pops.
It looks like a tiger.
The other thing that I've been thinking about, we've kind of been discussing this a little bit on the show. I think the NFL's weirdly somewhat morphing into college football, but with a better on-field product. Guys,
so the players, they're retired to go. They got to go to class.
We found out the Raiders now have $50 million owed to coaches that are not coaching for them.
That's the Raiders.
That's a college football move.
Very much
just
so.
Dead money, two coaches.
They check that box. That would be my top guess.
The insane comebacks is way more of a college thing because usually it's number of plays. You can also have a situation where the game can eventually, usually you have one team that maybe jumps out is not as talented, and so then the more talented team eventually comes back. That's very much a college thing. But I think this might be college football.
Yeah.
Someone make it make sense to me how it is impossible for Matt LaFleur, who still has 1 year remaining on his contract, why does he have to have an extension to coach again?
I don't know.
Is it going to hurt him in the portal? Is it going to hurt their recruiting? I don't understand this. I'm not saying that you can't work out another extension, but if you and I are on this very program and we have a year remaining on our contract, nobody's ripping up our deal to give us a new one. What? I don't understand.
It's a sports thing.
But it's more of a college thing.
For sure. It is 100% more of a college.
No, you're right.
In the NBA, guys are on contract years. In baseball,
they get on contract.
Managers are always on contract years.
Right, true. You got to get to a contract year a lot of times, yeah.
But, can someone explain to me why it is such a big deal? Because it's either LaFleur gets the extension.
Is this agents just...
Well, that's kind of what I'm wondering is...
Who's LaFleur's agent?
Agents have forever been able to control the narrative in college football. Are they now trying to dip their toe into the NFL and go back to their playbook? All right, let's run the ones that work.
What was back to the games this weekend? What was the most surprising thing for you in these results here?
I think it's Bears coming back.
The Bears. Because that was it was an enormous deficit.
It was not necessarily that the Bears came back, because they've been doing that all year long. And I'm not trying to spit on Bears fans' faces for that.
They're not. They just that's.
But what surprised?
They're happy today. They came back.
Which shocked me. George, what was your interpretation? So in the first half, the Packers had three drives, got touchdowns on all of them, and I believe had four third down plays. On one drive, they went 87 yards and only got to third down once. They were moving the ball at will.
Right.
Obviously, the Bears in the second half got more aggressive. But what I could not figure out is how it went from we are moving the ball with zero resistance to it was three and out, or three and out, four and out. They get the one touchdown drive that you thought seemingly was going to put the game away.
Yeah.
They miss an extra point. They miss a field goal, and then they miss a field goal at the end of the half. I could not specifically point to what flipped for why the Packers went from being so good to so bad, other than the only thing that made sense in my head was they spent more time under center in the first half with the run game, going counter and whatnot.
Yeah.
Then in the second half, the Bears were like, screw this, we're coming after you. And it's going to be, it was like blitz zero. It felt 60 or 70% of plays.
It was a ton of extra guys at the line.
Correct.
Just trying to get as much push as possible, which, credit,
I saw Packers fans getting upset that, why did we start going shotgun? Well, I'm going, they're blitzing every play. You're trying to give yourself a little bit of time, but...
Right. If you're just running under center, that would be my, big issue with this, because at the same time, just like you, we saw a ton of Packers fans saying, this has to be it for LaFleur. He needs to be done. I don't know what he did or could have done differently, really, than the adjustments he really made, because, to your point, if you're going under center when they're throwing six and seven guys at you, you're just asking for negative plays.
You're asking for negative plays, and you're also asking your quarterback to get stepped on because they were just going to try to shove everyone back. I actually thought, and shout out to my brother Blair, he was pointing this one out. I actually think the biggest play of the game was the play with the Packers in the 2-minute drill where the center got hurt.
Yes.
Because
huge.
The center got hurt. It took it from 32 seconds where they were going to be on the ball.
22.
They were going to be able to, it went from 32 to 22, but they were going to be on the ball to clock it with 27 seconds. But the other big part of that was they had to change centers. We saw a bad snap, and then we also saw a late snap or an early snap, a mistimed snap, and they were unable to get like a real playoff.
Yep.
So that felt significant.
Oh, that was massive, and I pointed that at, like, I'm sitting there watching that with my dad. It was my dad's birthday there on Saturday. So thank you guys for the updates in the text, you and D-Mike. That was huge, massive, and to your point, especially that poor snap, I don't know how much of that was just a purely bad snap, or was it just that Love bobbled it because it's different. Going from center to center, everyone snaps the ball a little bit differently.
Yeah, there was one that was low.
One was low. I'm thinking of
I think to your point, it's just discomfort.
Exactly.
And then, I don't know. I guess for me with LaFleur.
Shout out Dennis Allen, too.
Dennis Allen. Allen's also in our category. I got no problem if he calls your defense. I don't want him as my head coach.
Bingo.
I think what I've figured out my biggest problem with LaFleur is LaFleur thinks he's Shanny, but I think he's Stefanski. With a stable job. Like,
okay.
Like, I'm not convinced he's like, he is not on McVay and Shanahan's level, but I think he's still good.
Right. I agree with that.
That was kind of the other thing.
Talking about Shanahan.
All right. Shout out to the Bears.
What about?
Well, I was going to go to Sunday. Sunday was my.
Sunday. I mean, because I want to talk about the Bills game.
Bills Jaguars to me. That was a reminder, like that was a throwback to the way the playoffs always used to be, where I think it's pretty obvious to me, top to bottom, the better football team is the Jaguars with better players. Like, which team has better players? It's the Jaguars. But sometimes it's literally as simple as, like, guys, Josh Allen's on the other side.
Right.
And Josh Allen was darn near perfect. Like, I don't really remember a single throw being in harm's way. And then it came down to it when he got the football back. Do you have pod two down or the stack? Sorry.
That was weird because I didn't.
No, sometimes the thing will fire.
Do not adjust your radio.
Correct. The perfect encapsulation to me of Josh Allen was. He got the football back with, I think, 4 minutes. I had 0.0 doubt in my mind that he was going to go score a touchdown. What I did think was entirely possible, though, was that he would score a touchdown and leave time on the clock, and the Bills would at least give up a field goal because Cam Little has a 68-yarder, 67-yarder. Basically, if they could get the ball to midfield, they were going to get a chance to get a kickoff, and we would at least go to overtime. When they got the weird tush push all the way to the end zone down at the one. I was telling myself, it's like, all right, the Jags have to take their last time out. I would have figured out you can't take like a full knee, but I would have just done the Josh, take the snap, fall down to the ground and run some clock. Because what I was actually afraid of was if you gave them a minute of time, that they were going to struggle to get a stop. Credit to the Bills, they got the stop. But that was just the good old-fashioned of, guys, Trevor Lawrence, who made some big-time throws. The touchdown throw was a big – he had two or three third downs, like, to Brian Thomas Jr. that were, like – he made some big throws, but it really kind of came down to –
Yeah, he's on a different tier, right?
Well, he threw a pick in the first half.
He's in a different tier.
Definitely threw one in the second half.
And then you got the top tier. The top tier quarterback in the postseason.
And there's only one of those right now that's left.
You're saying Josh is the last one?
That's left.
And so And you cannot forget that the Bills have more to play for. All of these teams are trying to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, but the Bills have more here at stake because they know they're going to force Jeff Calkins out of retirement from the radio.
Correct.
And he has to come back to the radio if the Bills win the Super Bowl. So they got something else, and we're on Jeff Calkins' watch. Calkins will come on this show the Monday after the Super Bowl if the Bills have to win the Super Bowl for him to come back?
Correct.
They have to win it, yeah. All right. Well, we won't hear from Jeff ever again. I mean, we're not expecting that to happen. But
I'm also convinced this might have been Josh's, like, Mona Lisa of I'm not hurt.
Yes.
He at least beat the concussion test twice. He got his knee jacked up on the first touchdown run. He then had the situation where he hit a guy's helmet and his thumb was all jacked up. I literally just think Josh went to the sideline and just said, I'm not hurt, I'm not hurt, and he willed himself into believing he wasn't hurt.
I would agree. Now, okay, we've got to make sure we talk about the Eagles, because I know we were both in the camp
hurt.
Of
God,
we
it hurt me.
We will bet on the Eagles until they lose, right? Like, I'm still going to believe in them.
I did have one caveat.
Over.
I thought Lane Johnson was going to play and he didn't. But yes.
Still, they only lost by four.
So the thing about the Eagles that surprised me was I really believed in my heart of hearts they were load managing. And Hurts, who had been averaging about three or four designed runs a game after averaging between 8 and 10 last year,
right?
I thought we were going to get to the playoffs and I thought we were going to see more of that. And because of that, that opens up their offense. And they were going to be...
Is that just because you're thinking that because that's as often you see this with championship teams, like that they know when to...
He's taking a lot of shots.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mileage on the body, and when you play in a Super Bowl, that's an entire extra month worth of games.
Oh, wow. Yeah, 100%,
so,
yeah.
So, like, I understood what they were doing, but no, it turns out, like, that was just kind of their offense, was... He just was not going to be the designed runner that he was. And
I mean, I thought that we would see the Eagles. I thought we would see them further in. I didn't know necessarily they'd make it to the Super Bowl again, but based off of, you know, what they've done this year. But I mean, so now we're fresh. How many years has it been? So what are the past Super Bowl winners? We have Kansas City. We've had Eagles.
So the pattern for the Eagles is make the Super Bowl, get beat in the first round the next year. Like, that's four consecutive years. Like, that's their pattern. So the last...
So we should have seen this coming, is what you're saying.
Unless they're the Chiefs.
Right.
The Chiefs are the team that seems to supersede all of that.
Okay, yeah, and that makes sense. So we had... but anyway, so the Eagles, so that's... And then there was the evening game, not that great.
All right. George, I got a take. You ready?
Fire away.
Drake May is who Draft Twitter thinks Justin Herbert is.
I think that's a solid take.
So
doesn't make a ton of mistakes, has a really good arm.
Great athlete.
Mobile.
Great athlete. Like, prototypical size, everything.
Yep.
The difference to me between Drake May and Herbert, A.
It's a noodle.
Yet again, Herbert, he's not a duck, y'all. He's a turtle. Last night, I've just never seen somebody that continuously takes an all-out blitz and sits there and holds the football, and then everybody cries he's a victim because he took a sack against an all-out blitz. Like, that happens continuously. And then the other thing about last night was, yeah, they started getting pressure on him late. In the first half, he just had, like, happy feet. He was bailing on the pocket when he had good protection.
Oh, yeah.
Whatnot. Like, this is just what this guy is. And then he has never seen a crossing route that's 5 yards away from him that he cannot throw as hard as he can and watch it bounce off his guy's hands for an interception, then everybody call it a drop.
No, that's 100% fair. I will also say, though, for that O-line.
They're bad. Don't get me wrong.
Bradley Bozeman is diabolical.
No, I mean, like, they're banged up everything. But it's just like, yet again, here we are.
Herbert was, it was just an awful football game to watch. Like, truly, I did not enjoy watching that game.
That.
It wasn't even as though, like, the Patriots offense was, like, clicking by any means.
It was.
Like, the Chargers defense hemmed them in pretty well for, what, 3.5 quarters?
Also, for the records, Jennings for the Niners now has more touchdown passes in the playoffs than Justin Herbert.
Because that's a second.
He has just as many. Beg your pardon.
Yeah, that's a second.
Yeah.
It was a great throw to CMC. But.
So we're set. Broncos, Bills,
in Mile High.
We have Seahawks, 49ers.
Correct.
Locked in. And Bears, Rams. Rams,
yes.
the most recent Super Bowl champions are remaining. They won back in, 2022 or something that season, I believe.
I think it was the 21 season, the 22 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Did I do that right?
Sounds right.
And of course, now the Patriots will play the winner of tonight's game. Which is going to be Steelers or Texans. Texans would be one of those teams like the Bills who have never won a Super Bowl before.
All right, George, I'll ask you this because I think my answer has changed.
Okay.
Ah!
I was going to say, there's this, and we also have an NFL coaching update from Schefter after this from you.
All right, 1 second. Wait on that.
Yes.
That's what sounder was for.
If you get a free play, it's a free play. But you got to just bet on one team to win it all.
Right.
Who would you bet on?
This year?
Oh. Correct. I'm like, after what we've seen. I mean, granted, I guess theoretically, if we're playing an even, I would let you watch tonight. But I'm saying, because I thought I had an answer, and now I'm...
It could be like when you're filling out a March Madness
I thought
bracket.
My answer was going to be the Rams.
It could be tonight.
My answer might be Buffalo.
I was thinking that, too.
The problem is, this game.
And I...
It's I
was impressed with the Bears. I could see a Bears.
Oh, if it's
Super
just
Bowl.
Like a crazy, like wild last play, big play, it very well could be the Bears.
Listen,
they've got
in
the
terms
dudes
of
for it.
The guy just has to make a play. They might have the quarterback that you're like, all right, give me a shot.
Like this could be like to your quarterback point. That's why you know.
Same thing with like the Bills. Like
yeah, with
Josh
the Bills.
Allen.
My
yeah.
only hang up
with Josh Allen
with the Bills is
the receivers.
No, it's not even that because I trust Josh. I've watched, man, I grew up in an era where Tom Brady won 3 Super Bowls throwing to me and Kevin.
Right.
Like, yeah,
that's
it's
true. But it's Brady.
I don't, like, a lot of gym rats caught a lot of meaningful passes. He did also have 2 tight ends that were unguardable.
A lot of lax players.
Correct. My issue with the Bills is I am not afraid of Bo Nix. I'm not afraid of new Tebow. I respect Mile High. As an NFL opposing venue.
Preach.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I've
seen a lot of good teams go there and get beat.
Denver's a big threat. We didn't talk about it much in the college football, how we're getting into Miami's going to have home field advantage
exactly.
for the Indiana game coming up. But I think that's definitely going to be the factor. If the Bills can survive that game, if they win that game, I do you see them getting stopped then after that? Like, I mean, that would be very impressive.
Oh, no,
take your number one seed Broncos down a mile high off the ground.
Like, as I told my wife, listen, I won my first Super Bowl from the wild card spot, too, and it started in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The toughest game, there was 2 tough ones. Winning in Dallas, 13-3 Dallas, after they'd won the division and smoked the Giants throughout the year. That was the first time I started to believe. We did also have to go to Green Bay and win. Where
oh,
our coach's
yeah,
face
the...
froze off. That was a pretty tough one. And then we had to finish it off beating the only team that was undefeated in the Super Bowl. That was like the third toughest game.
But I mean, we've had so many years recently, right? It was Kansas City was like the story for the entire playoffs. And like to have a weekend like this past weekend where it just feels like it really could be all types of different directions, the Super Bowl champions, because you've got none of the returning teams back and you got everybody playing these close games. Like it could go any way, and I'm very excited to see how it unfolds, especially tonight.
All right, hold on to the NFL news. We'll tell you about it when we come back, and we'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George, you said we got some NFL coaching news. What do you got for me?
From Adam Schefter, the Falcons announced an official interview already with former Ravens head coach John Harbaugh. However, he has already been conducting preliminary and extensive phone calls with all of the Giants, the Titans, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Cardinals, per sources. He's trying to determine who to meet with later this week and into next week before making his decision. He is fully expected to coach in 2026.
That sounds like it.
So he's taking phone calls with everyone.
Everybody.
Wasn't the report this weekend he was going to be judicious?
Maybe that's part of his judiciousness, if you will.
All right.
Maybe he got a new Verizon phone after seeing all those ads.
Maybe. He's like, I got to get these minutes used up.
His phone was probably turned off by the
By the Ravens.
He had to start interviewing with people so that he could get a new phone.
Right.
Oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like the signing bonus. Yeah.
Interestingly, I did not see the Dolphins on that list. I know that was an
early. But the Dolphins?
Yeah.
It's a long list.
And McDaniel's interviewing with the Falcons, too. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Got to go to Cincinnati head basketball coach Wes Miller. Following a 73-72 loss to UCF, he had this to say. Terrific college basketball game. Nobody lost the game. I thought both teams made plays to win tonight. Nobody lost. They just ran out of time.
Yeah.
Except the team that. Never mind.
Pretty sure he lost, Wes. Pretty sure. Want to thank CJ Hurt and Chris Harrington for joining the program. If you missed anything about on the podcast, shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.